Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
In South Africa, you have tribes in South Africa who are killing Zimbabwe workers. So people are coming from Zimbabwe to work in South Africa for jobs, and they're being murdered. Racial division. And we had also the Tutsis and the Hutus. In what country was that? Where? Rwanda. Nation against nation in that country. This is a global thing. It's not just America. Ethnic groups shall be raised up against ethnic group, kingdom against kingdom. Now that's talking about national governments. And there shall be famines, pestilence. Pestilence, root word is disease born from the pests, meaning diseases born from rodents, snakes, bats. Come on, Corona. There shall be pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And of course, if you study the geological studies and you look at all that things which I have done, you'll see that the advent of earthquakes has picked up exponentially over the last 100 years. These are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. If you're going to be hated, make sure you're not hated for being a Republican. Make sure you're not hated for being a Democrat or a Libertarian. If you're going to be hated, at least make sure you're hated for being a Christian. Amen. You should be hated of all nations for my name's sake. When I sat, I think it was the nation of Laos. I believe it was Laos. I was there, and I was having my breakfast in the morning, and the table behind me was a long table of government delegates from all over Southeast Asia that were having a UN conference. So when I got to my hotel, there was one of these advertisements that said, "Welcome to the whatever session of the UN." What's it called? Gender Equality Conference. And I thought, oh, what kind of homo thing is going on here? That's what I thought. But I did some research and I found out it's not about sexuality. It was about equal pay, equal rights for women. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, all right. So it wasn't as bad as I thought, you know. But I'm sitting down having breakfast and I overhear the UN instructor talking to all the delegates. Now, you have diplomats from Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Korea, from all over, Myanmar. They're all there at this table, all delegates, government leaders. And this lady from England is there as their instructor. They're looking up to her. They're getting counsel and advice from her. And she's off the record having breakfast saying, "Do you know who the most dangerous people to our world are?" And I'm just, you know, having, you know, my cereal. She says, "It's the American Christians. They are the most dangerous people to our world, to our global order, and to a harmonious society. The Christians and American Christians are the radicals." I was so upset. And now, this was breakfast. I know some of you, like the Koreans, they get up early in the morning before breakfast. They put their makeup on. They do their hair. They put their clothes and the perfume on before they come to breakfast. But I'm not from that generation. When I go down to breakfast, I'm wearing flip-flops, shorts with a hole in it, you know, a shirt with jewel stains, and my hair is going every way, a little crust on the side of my mouth. So I'm looking like a redneck Republican, you know. I look like, you know, I was trying to like not be seen by them, you know, because I look so terrible. But I couldn't help it. I just, when they said that, I couldn't help it. I got up and I walked over to that table and I told her off. And I said, you should be ashamed of yourself. I said, you are here by the United Nations government being paid to teach all these nations' leaders positive and good things, and you're spreading division and you're spreading bigotry. And everyone was just like holding their spoon like this, just staring at me, you know. And I just turned around and I walked away. Later on that day, the lady came to me. Well, because I told her, I'm going to report you, I said too. So she came to me. She said, you know what, sir, I'm so sorry. You are right. I realized what I said was so wrong, and it was bigotry. Not everyone's like that, you know, and forgive me for saying that. But watch this. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. There was a hatred brewing against the Christians. And part of what happened on January 6th, and the internet prophets have a large responsibility of what happened to this. Pastor Rodney said it today. He said, I told my church members not to go January 6th. He said, I knew they were going to send a false flag. He said, they invited me to speak. I was supposed to stand right there and speak. And I think Pastor Che Ann in California was there speaking. He was going to speak there. And the Holy Spirit said, don't go, because they're going to do a false flag and it's going to be used to demonize Christians and make the Christians look like they are a radical threat to democracy. And then they flipped the whole thing, and Christians were calling for all the corruption done in the vote. We were calling for Trump to call the Insurrection Act. Bring a military count of the ballots. Let's get justice and a righteous vote in this country. And so they flipped it on us, and they said the Christians, it caused an insurrection. This, Jesus said, must happen. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. Even Pastor Sharon Doherty was there on January 6th. And people that know her from Victory saw her, took her pictures, and spread it all over the church. And Victory had to come out with an official statement to denounce what the accusations were and what her role was in the insurrection, the Christian insurrection on January 6th. You shall be betrayed by one another. Do you know that there were kids that saw their mother and father at the rally, took the picture, sent it to their employers, and had their parents fired from their job? Their own family members. It's been happening the last 2 weeks. You shall be betrayed. You shall betray one another, and you shall hate one another. Uh-oh. Don't read verse 11. Lord Jesus, help us. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. I mean, I don't know if I'm reading the New York Times or the Holy Bible. We are living this out today. But here's the good news, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Notice it didn't say because they're all going to get saved. He said for a witness. There was a young man that was dating. He was a Ghanaian, and he was dating a Zimbabwe girl in Beijing. And they got in a fight, and he pushed her out the window, 20th floor. She fell out the 20th floor, landed, and she died. Now, this young Zimbabwe girl, she had come to my church once or twice over the last year. And she wasn't Christian, she wasn't serving God, but when she came, she felt the presence of God. She would weep, she would come up for prayer. But she just never settled in to serve God, and she kept living in the world and dating this Ghanaian drug dealer. And so when she died, they said, "You're the only pastor she's ever had. Would you do the funeral?" Well, you have to understand that in China, it's communist, and you can't have a Christian funeral there. So I said, you know what? If we're the only church that she's ever had, we don't have a lot of money. It's against the law. I said, but we have to do it for her. She came. She was touched here. She wept here. She was touched by God. She felt I was her pastor. I have to honor her and do the funeral. So we had an underground funeral, what I say maybe 150 people in China. And I got up there, and every single person there was either a prostitute or a drug dealer. Every one of them. So this particular area in Beijing, there's a large African diaspora there. And there's two kinds. There are the churchgoers, and then there are the drug dealers and the prostitutes. Those are the two types that were there. So she was not a churchgoer, so the place was filled with all the prostitutes and all the gang members. And I sat there, and I pleaded over his body to these prostitutes and to these gangsters and drug dealers. I pleaded for them to get saved. I had like a 30-minute altar call. Finally, the police showed up. Were you there, honey? No? Finally, the police showed up. And the police were downstairs. They were looking for us because they saw many foreigners coming to the hotel. This is a big 5-star hotel. And so I got a call on the walkie-talkie. I had Juan guarding the hallway, one of our elders. They said, Bishop Joey, the police are coming. The police are coming. We gotta make everyone run out of the fire escape. And I said, wait a minute, they're not saved yet. So I got back in there, and I'm thinking, like, the police are coming up the elevator. Repent, repent. I'm like, but if I told them the police are coming, they would all jump up and start running. So I was trying to hold it off, not telling them, because I don't want to lose them. But I was pleading with them to get saved. Not one person got saved. Finally, I said, you know what? Sorry, guys, everyone, run! The police are at the doorstep! And everyone jumped up and ran out the back door. And I was running from the police, too. I went out the fire escape, and because I ran from the police, like I wasn't like, my car was at the front door, but because I had to run to the fire escape, I was in the back of the building. I had to walk around several blocks to get to my car. We had to flag a taxi. We were hiding from the police behind a building. I mean, it was a mess. It was such a headache, and I regretted doing the funeral because I said to God, nobody got saved. What did I do that funeral for? God said, for a witness. None of them will get before the white throne judgment and say, I have never had a chance. So we have to preach not just for souls to get saved, but we have to preach to the whole world for a witness. And then the end shall come. But we have misinterpreted this, thinking that there has to be some global revival where everyone gets saved for Jesus to return. He didn't say that. He said, but we do have to preach in every country to every person as a witness. That's only fair. Amen. Verse 15. When you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. So now Jesus is so, just how beautiful this is. Jesus, God himself in the flesh, is quoting his prophet. Isn't that something? When you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take his thing. So you have to understand, first of all, he's talking here now, not to you, but to the Jews. He says, those in Judea. So he's speaking to the Jewish people. And why he says those who are on the housetop is because in that part of the world, people, they on the top of their house, their roofs are flat, and they have a garden up there, and they have a grill and tables and chairs, and people hang out on the roof because real estate is so expensive there, and it's the fact that you get a house is a blessing. So you have to maximize what you have, and your garden is actually your roof. So he said, if you're up there on your roof, come down out of your house. Neither let him which is in the field go back for his clothes. Run. Verse 19, but woe to them who are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. In verse 20, pray that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Jesus himself did not know when it would be. That's why he said, if it's a winter, if it's an... Isn't it something that even the Godhead, the Holy Trinity, there were still some things that were reserved that the Father did not show Jesus? That's why it says, no man knoweth hour, not even the Son of Man, not even Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Verse 21. For then shall be a great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there shall be no flesh. Now, if you think about in the tribulation, he says there's been nothing like this ever since before. Think about some of the things that they've suffered under Rome, 70 AD. Think about what they suffered under Hitler, where 6 million of them were exterminated. And he says what's about to happen is worse than that. And except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those are the Jews, the days will be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall also arise false Christ and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders. Insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You see, you Americans have to understand, Africa we know. In Africa, there are prophets who prophesy accurately, who do miracles, but they go to the witch doctors and they do demonic power. Matter of fact, Heba, who should be here today, we got to pray for Sharon, pray for Heba, pray for Itzy or whatever her name is, Izzy. Pray for the babies here. They have a hard time just getting to church. Pray for them. It's a spiritual warfare. Amen? Yeah, amen. Pray for them. Call them. Pray for them. She was in a church in Dallas, an African church. Her friend took her to this African church in Dallas. And the pastor read her poems. He said, let me see your hands. I want to read your poems. He reads her poems. And then a couple days later, she's in bed at night and he appears in her bedroom. And she freaks out and she screams. And he starts showing up in her bedroom. So the girl that took her to see this prophet, she met with her and she said, hey, has something strange been happening to you? She said, oh my God, you too? She said, yeah, what's been happening? She said, he's been coming to my room at night. She said, yeah, me too. He'll appear while I'm in the shower. He'll appear in my bedroom at night. Both the friends, this guy's been astral projecting to watch them naked, this prophet. So just because they prophesy accurately doesn't mean it's from the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me? There's a lot of demons out there and they're pastors. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the Son of Man, the coming of the Son of Man be. Hallelujah. Amen. Everyone will see. My wife said, how will everyone see? I said, CNN. We got the cameraman, fell under the power. Amen. CNN, internet, ABC. The whole world will see. Amen. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be eagles will be gathered together. Immediately, verse 29, after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now there are people who teach that all of this had took place in 70 AD. It's called preterism. And that's not biblical. One of the reasons why is because in 70 AD, truly the temple was destroyed and so forth, and the Jews were killed. But the sun was not darkened, and the moon was not withheld from shining her light. So this was not fulfilled. This is what's going to happen. Amen. And verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man. All the tribes, say all the tribes. All the tribes shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, amen, of heaven with power and with glory. Somebody said Jesus is here. Somebody said he's in there. You know, my wife was discussing this with me in the book of Revelation. She was asking, how would we know which is Jesus? Because he's coming on the clouds with great power and great glory, and every eye shall see him. And he'll send his angels with the sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Hallelujah. And we will not be here to suffer the coming judgments that's about to be poured out on the earth. We will be gathered and taken away. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, it putteth forth leaves. You know then that summer is near. So likewise you, when you shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. And I'm telling you, folks, we are at the doors right now. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but watch this, my prophet's words. No, that was Old Testament, the prophet's words. And thank God we're not in the Old Testament, because if we were in the Old Testament, all the internet prophets would have to be pulled out on the street and stoned to death. So when you're under that kind of pressure, you will make sure your word is from God. If you know you're going to get stoned and killed, you better make sure your word's from God. But now they could get away with anything. They can say anything and even refuse to apologize, and they'll still gather millions of dollars and have thousands of followers. That's why there's no pressure on them to bring an accurate word. You understand me? But when you know you're going to be stoned, you're going to be fasting and praying to make sure that what your word is from God. Amen. That's why in the Old Testament, he said the words of my prophets will not fall. But he never says that in the New Testament. But he says, my words shall not pass away. Amen. For 36, but of that day and hour, no man, no, not the angels, but my Father only. Say the Father only. Father only. Only he knows. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Here's where we are today. What was it like in the days of Noah? But as the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Well, in the days of Noah, we understand that there was a great flood that took place. And I want to turn to Genesis chapter 6 with you. And I want to examine today the days of Noah. If we have time. I don't know. I don't think we really have time to get into that today. But let's turn to Genesis 6 and look at a few things quickly. Why did God send such a drastic judgment as the flood? Number one question. Number two, what were the days of Noah like? and why, what made them so unique? Because you'll find that there were times in history where there was great sin in the nations. And I'd venture to say there's great sin today. And there was great sin 100 years ago. What was unique about Genesis chapter 6? What was unique about the days of Noah that caused God to create such a drastic judgment that destroyed all life on the earth? Genesis chapter 6, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. If we could get that on the screen, is that possible? Genesis 6, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Let's look at what it says. Because what happens in the first part of this chapter is really what the story is about. The story is not really about the boat and how many people got on the boat and how the boat survived and how the two animals that came in two by two. The story is not really about that. The story is about what happened in the first part of this chapter in the days of Noah. And this now continues. This story is so stretching and so far-reaching that it continues to shape everything that happens in Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Chronicles. The entire history of the canon of Scripture up to Jesus is all shaped by what took place here in the first few verses in the days of Noah. And we begin now to understand the entire Bible when we understand this. Unfortunately, we have misread it, overread it, or been mistaught it. Let's take a look quickly here. It says, it came to pass that when men, say men, began to multiply on the face of the earth, men meaning the generic mankind, that daughters were born to mankind. Daughters were born to them. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. Can you say after that? There were giants not only here, but there were giants afterwards. We'll talk about that soon. When the sons of God, say sons of God, came to the daughter into the daughters of men, say daughters of men. And they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, the men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts were of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. What took place in these first few verses was what was happening in the days of Noah. I'm going to get into next week explaining to you how what is spoken here and written here is the fact that extraterrestrial beings came and raped women and created a race of beings that here in your Bible says giants. But actually, in the Hebrew, it says Nephilim. Nephilim means the fallen ones. So this species of beings called the fallen ones were hybrid beings made from the extraterrestrials mixed with humans. Daniel said that in the last kingdom, there'll be miry clay mixed with the seed of men. Daniel was prophesying about the manifestation of these Nephilim, these hybrids returning. You'll find as you study every alien abduction, there is one thing. Men claim that their sperm was extracted for reproductive usage. Women claim that their bodies were probed in their body parts, women, female body parts, for reproductive purposes. We're finding something happening again all across, and this is not just in America. This is happening in Israel. It's happening in China. These abductions are happening worldwide. And we're finding a similarity now to the days of Noah to the day that we are living in today. As we go into next week, we'll begin to show you how the Egyptian pyramids, and I have pictures, show these extraterrestrial beings coming down from the sky. It's in the Mayan pyramids. It's in the Syrian books. It's in the Egyptian pyramids. It's in the Aztec pyramids. How beings came from the sky and came and they bred children, beings. And they created structures like the pyramids of Giza, like what we see in Europe with the big Stonehenge and so forth. And we're going to look at some of the specifics next week of the pyramids of Giza. And to this day, with all the technology advancements that we have, we cannot. Our greatest physicists and engineers cannot understand how to even make that today. We don't even have cranes in existence that could carry the weight of one of the boulders in the pyramids of Giza. We don't have cranes in the world today, in 2021, that could pick up one of those boulders that they used to create those pyramids. And we're going to find what happened before is beginning to happen again all across the world. In China, there's an area in Xi'an province I read about 2 years ago where they have roped off. The Communist Party doesn't let anybody go there. And they're having these pyramids built that were built thousands of years ago. These pyramids are there in China. And in there, there's also hieroglyphs of beings coming down to Earth in that region. And China has it barred off, locked off. We are in very interesting time. The United States government has several departments funded and established to communicate with extraterrestrials, to search, and to defend against extraterrestrials. Very interesting. We are living again in the days of Noah. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the time of the end. We're going to see an increase. And next week we'll go into the book of Revelation. And we'll show you where John the Revelator prophesies of these extraterrestrial beings to be released in the earth, and they will torment men. I will give you some good news today, that from the research that I've done, secular, non-Christian psychologists have found certain patterns. And you know what one of those patterns are? That out of all the abductions studied around the world, in every country, they found that the people who were abducted tend not to be Christian people. They were not church-going people. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. That's what I said. When I read that, I said, praise God. It says that those people, all of them, all of the abductions, 99% of them, they had an infinity, a curiosity, or a participation with the occult. This is what the secular, non-Christian scientists have found. Meaning that they are not talking to meeting lives on other planets. They're dealing with interdimensional demonic beings in the satanic kingdom is what they're encountering. And that's what the Greeks encountered, what the emperors in Egypt, the Incas, the Mayans, that's what they encountered. That's why even in their artwork in the Mayan and in the Mexican temples, there's serpents and dragons that came down to teach them and worship because they're demon spirits. Well, let's not say demon. They're not demons. They're fallen entities We'll get into that next week. Amen. Let's stand to our feet here. Give the Lord a hand clap for his word. Amen. I told you today we're going to be slowing down a little bit teaching. And I'm telling you, these spirits are leading the nations. These things are leading the nations. Jeff Bezos, Google CEO, Starbucks, see, all these guys are taking ayahuasca. And they're going into the spirit realm through the perineal gland. And they're encountering these spirit guides. And they're being instructed on how to create a global economy and how to create a global new world order. All of this is an agenda laid out by spirits from another dimension. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm Bishop Joseph Castillo, and this is Living Proof's podcast. I know you are blessed and encouraged, and I want to invite you today to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. He died for your sins so you don't have to die in that mucky mire of sin. He had lifted you up, shed his blood so you could be forgiven of everything that you've ever done. And all you need to do is open up the door and let the King of Glory come into your heart with the words of your lips. Repeat after me, and God will start a new chapter in your life today. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you now, just as I am. I am a sinner born in sin. But God, you sent your Son to die for my sins. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. Wash me in the blood. Forgive my sins. Send your Spirit in my heart. From this day forward, I have new life. I have boldness to share the gospel with others. And Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you said that prayer, I want you to contact the ministry. You could Facebook us, you could email us, you could Instagram us. We're on all those platforms. Bishop Joseph Castillo. Just go to our Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Email me if you want, bishop@theriverchurchtulsa.com. And we'd like to give you a free gift so you can understand this new walk with Christ that God has given you today. It's my book called Reality or Religion, The Beginner's Guide to Faith. We'll send you a copy. If this broadcast has blessed you, I want you to share it with others. And I want you to also partner with our ministry. Help us carry the good news of the gospel across the earth. And you can do so at theriverchurchtulsa.com or asiarevival.com. Once again, that's asiarevival.com or theriverchurchtulsa.com. If you need prayer, feel free to call us at 773-599-7197.